number one story on the one website is I just checked in to see what happened during the night, if any news broke or whatever. I read this morning and thought I'd bring it to you. And maybe it's about you, maybe it's not, but just wanted to bring this to our attention here. It says here, here's the article, even with the U.S. economy on the rebound, Americans are more stressed out about money than ever, and the financial strain is harming the nation's health. The American Psychological Association's Stress in America survey results from 2014, so that's current, released this week, shows that 72% of adults report feeling stressed about money. 22% say they experience extreme stress about money. Top reported triggers including paying for unexpected expenses, paying for essentials, and saving for retirement. While money generally stresses people out across the board, the survey finds that the hardest hit, stress-wise, are parents, millennials, Generation Xers, and lower-income households, those bringing in less than $50,000 per year. In other words, anyone besides wealthy baby boomers without children to support. Women shoulder much of the burden. Far more women than men say they have lain awake at night in the past month due to stress. 51% compared to 32% of men. For the first time, the annual report shows a disturbing trend. All of this financial strain is negatively affecting Americans' health. Parents are more likely than non-parents to report engaging in unhealthy stress management techniques, such as drinking alcohol, smoking, and other things. 32% of adults say that their lack of money prevents them from living a healthy lifestyle, while 12% report skipping going to the doctor because of financial concerns. Almost a third of adults with partners report that money is a major source of conflict in their relationships. Chronic stress is directly linked to myriad health issues, including high blood pressure, ulcers, irritable bowel syndrome, headaches, and depression. As difficult as it is to find a way to relieve the mind when life is a pressure cooker of stress, taking a moment to care of oneself is incredibly important. This is what they say. Studies repeatedly show that one of the best ways to reduce stress is with exercise, which lowers stress hormone levels in your body. It doesn't mean spending hours at a gym every day, experts agree. Even a simple walk around the block for a few minutes can do a world of good for the body and mind. I read that last part just to tell people this. I got a better way. It's called 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. I hope you're not one of those people, but we serve a big God. He said, open your mouth and I will fill it. I mean, call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. David said, I've been young, I've been old, two things I've never seen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God will take care of people, okay? I do tell people I think there's a little common sense when it comes to financial preparedness and things like that, but we serve a big God. And he can take budgets, okay, that don't add up and make them work. I know that, okay? I tell people I know that. I'm not saying I'm probably the poorest person that's in this room, but at one time I might have been the poorest person that's ever in this room. And I worked on a school teacher's salary from the Christian school. And when the children came along, my wife stopped, and we relied totally on my salary. That's tough, okay? That's tough to do. But God provided. And I tell people, if you really want to understand this, while I was on that salary, I built a brand new house and moved into it. I serve a big God, okay? And I know that some people are just like, how's that kind of happen? I serve a big God, and he takes care of things. So again, I tell people, if you're laying awake at night, I got a better thing to do than stare at the ceiling. Just give it all to God and go to sleep, okay? And maybe your prayer needs to be something like this. God, I don't know what you're going to do, and I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do something because you promised. So I'm just throwing it on you. It's your problem. See you in the morning. You know, God, you stay awake all night and worry about my problems, okay? And you know what? He will stay awake all night. He will, okay? And he'll take care of you. So, again, I just read that and thought about, you know, if stress from money and all that is causing all kinds of problems. And I don't know, maybe, you know, for women, and I know you say, oh, women, but I know in my house, my wife says, well, sometimes I have to worry about finances because you won't, okay? So I understand that, too, okay? So, but God's good, is he not? And he's going to take care of us. We may not know all of it, but he's just going to do it. So, again, that's a mini sermon or just a mini challenge. But again, as we turn things over to God, God's going to take care, and He knows, and He does know. And sometimes when we put ourselves in places where budgets are tight, then we see miracles. That's when we see them, okay? God does things that we just couldn't believe He could do. Other times, maybe, I tell people, maybe for those who are so rich you have no financial concerns, you miss out on the blessings of God sometimes. You may. Because, again, but isn't it just the wonders of God that He's put you in that place where you don't have to worry about things at all? That's good, too. So, again, cast care upon God, and He'll care for you. He'll take care of us. I'm the book of Jude. I'm going to try to finish what I started last week, if I can. I called it Because of You. And, again, the idea that I came up with this, again, as I read the book of Jude, again, we live in an apostate world where people believe all kinds of foolishness. Churches are teaching things that aren't even close to being what the Bible is. Churches are taking stands that are so unbiblical it stinks, okay? And people are doing things that are they shouldn't be doing. And the answer I gave is when we live in this world of apostasy, when we live in a world of people doing horrible things and terrible things all the way around us, does it cause you to want to quit on the Christian life? You know, and I'd like to sit here and say, well, no, it doesn't. But how many people say, well, I used to go to church until so-and-so did this, and I don't go to church anymore. And basically what you're saying to somebody is, because of you, I quit it. I quit on the Christian life. I quit. Look, I got news for you. People are going to do things. People are going to say things about you. People are going to do things that they don't even know they're doing that will hurt you maybe. Okay? And that you don't even know it. Just this week. My wife and I were talking to somebody and said, well, so-and-so doesn't go to your church anymore. And they told me why they don't go anymore. I was like, funny, because I talked to them and they never said that. They never gave that a reason. But I talked to them. You know, and I thought, well, that's funny. So I called them up. Said, hey, I was just talking to so-and-so and they said, you stopped going to our church because of this. I don't want to talk about it. And the thing is, the person that they blame for why they left doesn't even know they did it. And the person, and I understand this, who did what they really did it to help. They did it to help. And yet this person says, we don't go to church anymore because somebody hurt me. And the person who hurt them doesn't even know they hurt them. And in their mind, because I know the situation, they thought they were doing what? Helping. And I thought, wow, so somebody is saying, going around and basically saying, because of you, I don't go to church anymore. The question I have is, what's it take for you to stop going to church? Are you going to blame it on other people? I think about Paul. I mean, Paul in the book of Corinthians, he says, man, we were knocked down. But you know what happened after he was knocked down? Does anybody know what he did? He got back up. Man, he said, we were persecuted beyond measure. He didn't stop. He didn't stop. I mean, it just didn't matter what you did to the Apostle Paul. In fact, I even could say this about the Apostle Paul. It didn't matter if you even killed him. And you know what? There is a story in the book of Acts where they stoned him and drug him out of the town and left him for what? Do you know why they might have left him for dead? He might have been dead. Okay? He might have. There's interpretations that people think maybe he was dead. But when he stood back up, he didn't say what? I'm not preaching anymore. Because that hurt. Okay? What did he do? He went back and preached. He didn't quit. Okay? And he had a good reason to quit. Boy, this is killing me. I mean, stop and think about it. Now, if you disagree with me as to whether he was really dead, I mean, they left him for dead. Maybe he wasn't. But some commentators think he really was dead. And God said, well, no, go back at it. And you know, there were times when he talks about being called up to the third heaven. Is anybody with me on that? Some people think maybe that's where it was. Okay, just some interpretations there. But he didn't quit. None of these things move me. I'm not quitting. And so, again, as we live in an apostate world of people who are doing all kinds of things, is somebody going to do something to make you quit on the Christian life? I hope not. I hope when people do things or whatever, yeah, it hurts, and I know it does. Okay? But you say, you know what? It's not enough to make me quit. I'm going to stay faithful. And again, as I only got to point one, again, the first point was, you know, one of the ways we did is build yourself up. Okay? Build yourself up on the most holy faith. Okay? Become a faith builder. Don't let these things shake your faith. Get your faith so strong. Okay, in Jesus Christ. And again, faith comes by hearing and hearing when the Word of God. And that's really what I was preaching last week. We need to get into our Bibles and learn more about God. And again, the article I just read, all of a sudden, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to do this? Well, if your faith is strong, what do you say? I'm trusting God. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. I heard a little story last night. It was on the news last night, a little boy that had cancer or whatever, and it was a good story just promoting this. But whatever the parents said, though, they really didn't have the health insurance they needed. They didn't have anything. And all of a sudden, they knew their bill was going to be millions, millions. And the fund that takes place, that's for the Four Diamonds Fund or whatever. And here's a family said they had no idea how they were going to pay for it. And all of a sudden, they just got a letter from the hospital saying the Four Diamonds Fund or whatever paid for everything. See, God uses people to work in different ways. And there's people that had millions of dollars that had no idea what to do, taken care of. Again, we just need to make sure that we build our faith. So when bad things come, and they're going to come, we've got the faith to get through because we trust in a big God. And I know this God. And by the way, the Bible verse that we have for the month, what is it? My God loves me. And how long is He going to love me? How long? It's an everlasting love. I'm okay. So again, that's the first one, but I'll watch. If I don't get moving on, we're not going to get through it. But again, remember, and now we're saying we're going to remain, and one of the things we're going to do is build up our most holy faith. Again, we are going to become faith builders. We're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to learn the doctrines. Again, one of the things that I encourage you, and I see them around, I know there's a bag down here and all that. Folks, if you are looking for something for daily devotions, okay, and you just don't have anything, you're not doing anything, please pick up a daily bread devotional and start with it. Again, I find it hard, but there was a couple times this week where in the daily bread devotional, I had to read a psalm, or part of a psalm. Was one of them Psalm 71 or whatever, and I turned to Psalm 71, I was reading it, and I got to a verse, and I go, oh, I memorized that verse last year, okay? You know, and I was like, it was a memory, wasn't it Psalm 71, 14? Wasn't that a memory verse? And I was just reading down through Psalm 71, oh, hey, I know that verse, I'll praise thee more and more, okay? And I was hoping thee continually, yet praise thee more and more. And I said, wow, I know that. And then there was a great devotional on Psalm 71, how we can trust God. And again, I like the daily bread. I think it has some good points in there. Not every day is earth-shaking. But there are some days when I read and I go, boy, that was really good. You know, I learned something about God today, or I was reminded of a great truth about God. That's becoming doctrinally strong, learning, again, about the Bible every day. Don't let the word doctrine throw you away. It's just learning what the Bible teaches. And again, we need to become strong in our faith. I got to get moving on or I'll never do it. Again, number two, if you'll notice there, is praying in the Holy Spirit. As we're in verse 20, after we build ourselves up in the most holy faith, again, we pray in the Holy Spirit is what we do here. Now, the first thing that I want to put down here is basically, folks, this has nothing to do with tongues or whatever people extrapolate the Pentecostals make it be. This has nothing to do with any kind of tongues or anything like that. You know, if people say, well, I pray in the Spirit. Well, if you really work on those verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, praying in the Spirit, it's not big S. It's little s. Okay? It's little s, which means in your spirit. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. But again, there is a praying in the Holy Spirit. And again, as I put down here, it's basically praying with a complete dependence upon God. That's why I read that article where it came this morning and it just hit me, was when it comes to financially being stressed out and extremely stressed over finances or whatever. This is praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is where you realize, okay, I'm going to trust God. All right, I'm going to devote everything to God. Now, and this is how I put it, I best I can. If you're listening to God, and you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, and you know it, okay, then trust God for the rest of it. Now, I'm one of those people that does preach sermons. I spoke a little bit about it in men's prayer breakfast yesterday, and I have sermons on or whatever. But folks, if you realize, and I'm going to speak about it in the next point, but if you realize you are not where you're supposed to be in God's will, then get there. Does that make sense to you? But if you realize you are where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, then let's just depend on God, okay? And God, you know, and you might say, well, I'm exactly where God wants me to be, and I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, and life is really hard. Well, can I give you a Bible story? The disciples were told by Jesus to get into a boat and go to the other side. Somebody tell me what happened while they were rowing that boat to the other side. Were they at the place God wanted them to be? Yes. Were they doing exactly what God wanted them to do? What is the answer? Yes. Were times really tough? Yes. Okay? Now, folks, can I tell you something? When Jesus usually stilled the wind in situations like that, what was one of the words he used to the disciples after he did that? O ye of little faith. You know? O ye of little faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit is just realizing, you know what, God? I'm doing your will. I'll do your will. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And if I'm in the middle of your will, I'm satisfied to be there. And your prayers center around not, Lord, change my life and do all this, but Lord, this is what life is. This is where you've put me. And Lord, I'm satisfied with it. You work your will out through my life. Not my will, but thine be done. That's what praying in the Holy Spirit is. Again, as I keep going down here, again, we're praying consistent with the Spirit's will. Okay? We're not trying to ask for things that God doesn't want for us. We're saying, God, this is where you want us. This is what is all about. And again, in my life, in our lives, again, with little Reed, and I hate to use the illustration, but with little Reed or whatever, but as a family, as we've sat down around the table to talk about this and get ourselves centered on where we need to be, God from eternity knew this was going to happen. He knew. God didn't all of a sudden look at an MRI and go, oops. Oops, wow, how'd that happen? He didn't do that. He's known from eternity. You know? And the idea we have is, God, this is your will. Now, as this is your will and this is where life has taken us or whatever, Lord, we're going to pray. Here are certain things we believe are your will. And here are certain things we believe that you want us to do or you want us to know. And God, we know that maybe you've done this so we get to know you better. This is praying in the Spirit's will is what it is. Sure, we offer up prayers. Lord, if it's your will, heal him. I have a percentage for you. Do you want to hear the percentage? I know that of people that have been diagnosed with tuberous sclerosis, no one in the history of America has ever been healed from it. It's so far the number is zero. If Reed were to be healed from tuberous sclerosis, he will be the first person to ever be healed from it. There has been nobody healed from it. Now, I tell people, you look at me and go, well, what's that fact mean to you? Well, number one, if God does something, that's big. You better believe we're going to get that one out there, okay? But if it's not God's will, then there's something else. And God, guide us through this. Take us where you want us to go. It's all yours, God. And that's what praying in the Holy Spirit is. It's more of a dedication of our lives to, and not just resign, but a dedication of our lives to the will of God to do what He wants us to call. And it may be rowing a ship in the middle of the sea in a huge storm, but we're exactly where God wants us to be. Does that make sense to you? Okay? It may be that God takes us to a martyr's fire to die for our faith, but that's exactly where God wants us to be, and we are dedicated to be there and to do it. We simply pray. This is the same words that would be used elsewhere in the Bible, that when Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name. It's the same kind of praying. That, Lord, all the things that we just put before you, again, we believe these are requests that you want us to do. Again, Lord, do what you will. Do what pleases you. Okay? May your will be done in my life is what we want here. God, just do it. And again, this is it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to pray, folks. But can you imagine Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he dies? Are you there? He knows the horrible death that he's going to go through the next day. And yet he says, what? Not my will be done, but thine be done. And when you stop and look at the situation that happened because God's will was played out, was it for the better? Absolutely, because what Jesus went through bought redemption for me and for you. And if Jesus would have done a different will than the will of God, our redemption would have been incomplete. And it wouldn't be available to us today. So praying in the Holy Spirit is, again, as I've tried to say the best I can, is, again, are you doing what God wants you to do, where God wants you to do it? Are you in the Lord's will? It's okay then. Now, God, now that you've put me here, show me what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to learn from this, okay? That you're a big God. And again, as God puts us through different places, as God puts us in different situations, we learn more. I'm writing a sermon on Genesis 22. I spoke a little bit about it in men's prayer breakfast, so they got an introduction to it. You're going to get one or whatever. Genesis 22 is when Abraham was told to go offer Isaac up on a mountain. Now watch this. At the end of the chapter, Abraham says, Jehovah Jireh, God provides. if he would have never gone through that experience, he wouldn't know who Jehovah Jireh is. And if you say, well, why did God put me through this? Because he wants to show you something about himself that you don't know right now, and you need to know it. Pray in the Spirit. Dedicate your life to the will of God and what God wants us to do. So again, we're learning the will of God. We're learning more about God as we're building ourselves up in the faith. And now we're praying, God, whatever you have for me, Lord, do it. And make me strong to go through it. And Lord, teach me the lessons you have for me. Please do that. Again, I tell people, look at some of the great men of the Bible and ladies of the Bible. Why are they so great? Because life was easy and they sat back in a chair and watched TV all day? Is that why they're mentioned in the Bible? Because life was so easy? Why are they in the Bible? Because they went through some tough times and learned things about God. And their faith was increased. About Joseph. What about Joseph? Wow. Did anybody go through harder times than Joseph? That was pretty tough. What about Job? Came out the other side knowing more about God. Lord, whatever you send me through, teach me lessons. I'm not what I should be. Build me in the faith. Lord, help me to do your will. Again, let's go to number 3. Looks like I might have a good day here and get done. The next thing we're told here is we read there in Jude 21 now. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Okay, now, this is a hard one, and I'm going to make sure I try to explain it right up front so we understand this, okay? And I want you to make sure that I'm not preaching any doctrines contrary to the Bible, contrary to church doctrinal statements or whatever, okay? Because somebody might say, okay, if it says keep yourselves in the love of God, is it possible that I could find myself outside of the love of God and be unsaved? And the answer is no. Okay, I'm not taking you there, but I could take you immediately to Romans chapter 8. What can separate us from the love of God? Okay, now the answer isn't nothing. It's a long answer. He goes through all kinds of stuff. You know, just all kinds of stuff. And then basically when he's done going through all kinds of stuff that possibly maybe somebody could think could separate them from the love of God, he says, I'm convinced nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we just sang love of God, did we not, in the choir? You saw the words go up on the board. What a great love. So again, I want everybody to know right up front when we're being told, keep yourselves in the love of God. My interpretation of this passage does not violate another piece of scripture which is easy to understand, which is you cannot be separated from the love of God. So I'm not teaching you can lose your salvation. Did everybody get that? Okay? You can't. And what does everybody know the number one rule? What's the first rule of hermeneutics, which is the interpretation of Scripture? Never interpret a hard-to-understand piece of Scripture, and your interpretation violates something that's easy to understand in the Scripture. So if you look at something and go, boy, does that mean I can lose my salvation? You say no, because I have some really clear passages which say I can't. So my interpretation of keep yourselves in the love of God does not mean that you can keep yourself out of it. Or get out of it. That's not what it means. So we're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about losing your salvation. But again, he's saying here, stay in the sphere of God's love here. Okay? Stay in the sphere of God's love. Keep yourself in the place where you experience the blessings that God's love brings. Okay? Make sure you stay there in the will of God. Again, maybe I put down here, don't get on the discipline side of God. Okay, now I'm going to use the family situation here, okay? You got parents, you got children or whatever, okay? I mean, there are two sides of parents, okay? Maybe more, but there's at least two sides of parents. There's a discipline side and there's a blessing side. Am I right about that? Okay, and I do believe parents, you need to balance it and you need to be good on both of them, okay? I mean, if your children are doing well, there are times where you need to shower your blessing upon them. Okay, maybe it's just verbal that you do. Maybe it's a little present that you give or something like that. Now, I do tell people, but I never ever, and I use the word, I never ever threaten my kids with blessing. You know what that means? Hey, if we go away to so-and-so house, if you guys are good when we're there, we'll take you out to McDonald's tomorrow. Never threaten my kids with blessing. Okay, they were told when we go to somebody's house, you be good. Never told if you're good, you'll get something. Okay, so they weren't bribed. Does that make sense? Now, it may happen that after they were good, we might do what? Say, you guys were good, and because of that, we're thinking about taking you out to eat tomorrow. Okay, where would you like to go? McDonald's. Okay, but, you know, So, again, you understand what I'm saying. So I'm not saying bribe your kids, but it's good to catch them being good and reward them from time to time. But on the other side, there ought to be a discipline side. Okay? There ought to be a discipline. And maybe when they're done going to somebody's house. Well, you know, we went to somebody's house last time, and after we were done, we were able to go to McDonald's. How come we're not going to McDonald's this time? Because you weren't good. And in fact, when you get home, we'll be discussing some discipline that's going to be taking place because you weren't good. Now, do I still love my children? Absolutely. But there is a blessing side, and there's a discipline side. Everybody agree with this or whatever? Okay? There's two sides here. And now what I'm trying to say is keep yourselves on the blessing side. Does that make sense? And again, there are verses we could give or whatever. Okay? Oh, could you take one back? I didn't mean to push that one. Okay? John chapter 15, you know? What's Jesus say? Abide in my love. As the branch and the vine, what's he say? Abide in me, I abide in you. Let me give you a story, though. Here's a really good story of a son who didn't find himself on the blessing side of his father. We call him the prodigal son. Stop and think about the prodigal son. Change the story, change your thinking just a little bit. Here's the prodigal son eating husks in a pig pen, not knowing there are a pair of shoes, a robe, and a ring that have his name on it. Am I right about this? He is in a pig pen. And he has got some fine things waiting for him at home. Why isn't he wearing a ring, a robe, and shoes right now? Because he's in the wrong place. He's not in the place of blessing right now. He looks to me like he's at the place of what? Discipline. Now, I've always had people. I had somebody ask me, "Well, why didn't the father go get this guy?" Okay, because the boy wasn't ready to come home. And if he'd have gone and gotten him, it wouldn't have worked. Okay, but then the boy finally came to himself, and when he got home, not only did he get his shoes and a ring and a robe, he also got a really nice meal. When's the last time that kid had a good meal? I mean, it even says when he was in the pig pen, he fain would have filled his belly with that which the pigs ate. I mean, this guy was even wanting to eat what pigs ate. Do you guys know what pigs eat or whatever? Yeah, I remember going out for Miss Ella. See, a lot of you are looking at me like, who's Miss Ella? A lot of you know who Miss Ella is. And there was one time, Walt, you went on vacation the same time she went on vacation, so I had to go out and feed the pigs. You remember that or whatever? I did not want to eat what I was feeding those pigs. Okay? And then she said, if the pigs seem a little... And I love this part. And if the pigs seem like they're not getting enough to eat, go out to my garden, pull all the weeds out of my garden, and feed them to the pigs. I thought, what a neat way to get her garden weeded. She's a smart lady. Okay? But I fed those pigs weed, and I fed them garbage. And they ate it. Am I right about that? Okay? I fed those pigs. And there's that guy sitting there, not knowing, look at all the good things that are there. Do you see the idea here? Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's what we're talking about. Again, we're really talking about living in such a way, okay, that you find yourself in a place where God can bless you, okay? There's ways that, I'm not saying that God doesn't love us. I already got over that. But we're not at a place where God can bless us. I have a question for you. If that boy would have received those shoes, that clothes, and that ring while he was away from the father, somebody tell me what would have happened to him. He'd have pawned them. Is that the word you'd use or whatever? And then use the money for what? Yeah, you know. The things that he was already previously doing. Right? That's what he'd done. Oh, his father still loved him. His father was still looking to the end of that road every day. Absolutely. And you know, when he finally came, he gave him all those things. Even when the son said, I'm not even worthy to be a son. Just make me a servant. No. You're my son. I love you. That love never went away, but you just weren't in the place of blessing is how it helps there. So, again, we just need, I put it, stay in the sphere where love is poured out, even in the midst of apostasy. I mean, in the book of Jude, even when people all around us are doing wrong and doing terrible things, you stay in the place of blessing where God can bless your life. And God can give you those things that He has for you. Again, I think that's what it means. I don't think it means we can lose our salvation. Again, it comes back to this. Where are you? Are you where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do? And if you are, He'll bless you. He will take care of you. He absolutely would. And that's what it means. Keep yourself in the love of God. Again, my sermon keeps coming back. The sermon was called, Wear Your Feet. Just wear your feet. And if you ever say, my feet are in a pig pen right now, get out. Go home. That's the place of blessing. If you're saying, right now I am home, I am the place of blessing, amen. Don't move your feet from there. Stay where God wants you to be. So keep yourselves in the love of God. Be where you be. And so again, as I ask people right now, here you are at church. How you doing? Do you think church is the place of blessing? I sure hope it is. I sure hope it is. You're doing what God wants you to do, being where you should be, and God will bless you. So again, the blessings of God, stay there. He does discipline, and He does it good. But let's make sure we stay in the place of blessing where God wants us to be. Number four, looks like I'm going to get through it. Again, it says here then as we go on, as we're there, we're waiting anxiously. Okay? Waiting anxiously. We're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Again, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Again, this is the word hope written all over this one, folks. There is hope. I don't know about you. I have fun in this life, but boy, there are times, okay, that I even sit down and go, wow, life's hard. Am I the only one that does that, or do some people do it from time to time? But there are times when I sit down and go, man, life's hard. You know, it is. You say, well, Pastor, how do you get through it? Folks, this is not all there is. It's going to get a whole lot better. And I'm waiting anxiously, again, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, maybe the first thing I would say, and I got some things written down here, live in the light of the return of Christ. Live in the light of eternity. Live in the light of the future. Live in eager anticipation of the Lord's return. Wait anxiously for Christ to come. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And again, I have a couple of those sayings there that I've written down here. Again, we've got things here. There's more to life than just this. Okay? There's a whole lot more. I mean, I tell people, I have eternal life. And I'm telling you, what I'm doing right here on earth is just a small portion of what it's all going to be. When we've been there, what the songwriters say? How many years? I can't even imagine 10,000 years. Okay? Now, I have a question for you. This is a good question. Has this earth even been around 10,000 years yet? That's a good question, is it not? Has it even been around 10,000 years? I know Usher's date for the creation of the world is 404 B.C. Has anybody ever been familiar with Bishop Usher and his work? He says that the earth was created 4004 B.C., which makes the earth only how old? Well, over 6,000 years old right now. So when somebody says, when we've been there 10,000 years, well, that's longer than there's ever been time. As long as there's been time, we haven't made it that far. So basically, for the songwriter, that's a long time. And yet, when we think about eternity, we've no less time. Time's not even passed yet. Nothing's even gotten started here. And so I think we need to make sure that we are anxiously looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Now, as I'm talking about the return of Jesus Christ, again, I think it does certain things. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. It's a purifying hope. It's a purifying hope. Again, looking for a hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. The return of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. We're to wait for His Son from heaven. Okay? Didn't want to move that one. I thought the verses were on there, but they weren't. I'm sorry. Just take that away. But again, as we're looking here for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm waiting for it. I'm just waiting for it. And again, when I hear that trumpet, when I hear the voice of the archangel, life's going to get a whole lot better. So shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We need to live life. There's a little chorus, we used to sing it out at Romola or whatever. What was it? Living with eternity's values in mind. Has anybody ever heard that? Somebody had to teach it to me when I got out there, okay? It was called Living with Eternity's Values in Mind. And Art Gray bought a big poster. That was his PowerPoint. He took a big poster board and wrote the words on it. And we sang it out there. Okay, living with eternity in mind. I never heard it, but that's what we're to do. Okay, there's more to life than just this or whatever. And so, okay, maybe God has put you in a place. Maybe God has you doing something, and it might be a little tough right now, like rowing in the middle of the lake. The middle of I guess it's the sea, is it not? No, it's tough, okay? But you know what? It's going to get better than this. The sea's going to be calm another day. We're going to make it to the other side, and everything's going to be okay. So let's just keep working. Don't quit. And that's what it means, I believe, to just wait, okay, as we're looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to everlasting life. Don't quit. Keep it going. I got thinking about the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, mercy is a big subject. I started studying a little bit about mercy, and I was like, okay, that got bigger than I wanted it to be. So I had to try to kind of bring it down if I could a little bit, okay? As we're waiting for the mercy, okay? Again, there is salvation mercy, okay? The day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, again, Ephesians 2:4, you are saved by mercy, okay? Now, you might say, well, I thought I was saved by grace. That too, okay? But you are saved by mercy. So there is the day that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, there was a mercy that was extended towards you that saved your soul. But see, mercy is much bigger than just salvation. Okay? All of a sudden, could we just say, well, I got the mercy when I got saved, and that's it. Don't need any more. No, I need mercy all the time. So again, there's salvation mercies. Again, you can go to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, that His mercies are new every morning. And what's that great line that comes in the next verse? Great is thy faithfulness. Which somebody took those words and did what with it? Made a great hymn. His mercies are new every morning. So again, there is the salvation mercy that saved me on the day that I got saved. Washed away my sins. Again, took away the punishment that was mine of going to hell forever to pay for them. Took it away. But now His mercies are new every morning. So every day I wake up, God's got new mercies for me. He just showers them upon me, is what we do then. If you look at Jude, and you're in the book of Jude, so go to verse 2. Jude 2. Notice what we want. We want mercy along with peace and love to be what? Multiplied. So there's multiplied mercy. I was always told that multiplication is just really fast addition, or it's bigger addition. Anybody heard that? So I really don't want mercies added to me. I want them multiplied, because that's even bigger. And God multiplies mercies. And so as Jude writes this, he says, you know, God's mercy be multiplied unto you. And I want God's mercy to just surround me and be everywhere that I go. Again, then there's maybe what I want to use, and that's where we find ourselves in this verse, Jude chapter 21, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's like the ultimate mercy. I think I can try to describe it to you. When this, and I'm talking about me, the ultimate mercy, it was when this poor, wretched sinner steps into heaven, salvation complete, absolutely beautiful, and it's for somebody like me, is that not the ultimate mercy? Because if the truth be known, if justice were to be served, when life is over, where should I be stepping into? Hell. Forever. And so I just call it the ultimate mercy is when this poor, wretched sinner walks into heaven, justified, righteous, wearing the robes of Christ, and I'm accepted in the Beloved into this wonderful place where I'll spend eternity. And I'm with Jesus Christ, who I'll spend eternity with. Isn't that the ultimate mercy? Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. And I do tell people the ultimate mercy is me, because I'll tell you what, the biggest sinner I know in this world is me. But you might point and do the same thing for you, right? What ultimate mercy? The day that I... So again, when some of us say, well, what are you saying, Pastor? Well, I'm really looking for the rapture. I mean, I'm really looking for the rapture. I'd like for Jesus Christ to come today and receive that ultimate mercy. Again, this corruption puts in incorruption. This mortality puts on immortality. And my life, my body has changed, and I'm fit for heaven. And boy, I'm headed off in the robes of Jesus Christ for eternity. I'm waiting for that day, but it may not come in my lifetime. But I don't believe death is something I should fear, because that's where God will show His ultimate mercy upon me. And I'm going to heaven. And so again, when people say, well, we're looking for, okay? We're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, okay? I mean, come on. You say, well, Pastor, are you really looking forward to dying? Well, what did the Apostle Paul say? For me to live is Christ. Finish it. To die is gain, okay? To die is gain. I don't know when God's going to take me, and I want to be faithful until the day that He takes me. but you know what? I don't want to spend ever on this earth. If Jesus tells me he's not coming for another 100 years, I don't want to be here. Do you know what I'm going to look like in 100 years, folks? Okay? I mean, I worked hard to get... I'm already bit bad at this age or whatever. Could you imagine another 100 years? Come on there or whatever, okay? I don't know. You know, who was it the other day? You know, it's a pastor from the top. You're losing a lot of hair. Thanks. That just really helped me. And I'm not doing anything about it, folks. So I don't want to be, if Jesus isn't coming back for another 100 years, I don't want to be here. I want to go before that, okay? Because I don't think life's going to be a whole lot of fun at that point in time. So I'm looking, okay? Yeah, I'm looking for the upper taker, but it may be the undertaker that gets me. But you know what? I don't fear death. And I'd like to go home when it's time. I'd like to go home. So again, that's what I call ultimate mercy. But then we also have something which I call final mercy. Because even when I get to heaven, mercy continues. Again, you can have verses, and folks, I picked out one verse among 100. Okay, Psalm 138:8, Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. How many verses in the Bible say that mercy endures forever? There's a lot of them. Okay? Mercy doesn't end just because I got to heaven. Mercy endures forever. It just goes on forever. And I tell people, I enjoy that mercy endures forever, because here's my picture of what could happen if it doesn't. Okay? And I know there's not morning and evening and sun and moon and stars in the sky when we get to heaven. But what would happen if one day God were to wake up and say, you know what? I'm just sick and tired of that Rick Gilball being in heaven here with me. I don't know why I put up with him anymore. You know what? I'm kicking him out. Somebody tell me what would happen at that point in time. I'm in trouble. That means his mercy ran out on me. His mercy's eternal. It will not run out. Okay? So whatever happens in heaven, or whatever is going on up there, or whatever, he'll just never say, I'm tired of that. I'm not putting up with him anymore. You know, I think back on earth and what he did, and boy, it really peeves me what he did. Man, he shouldn't have done that, and he did this. And you know what? I'm just done with him. And go get him and get him out of here. Folks, there's final mercy. It just goes on forever. And you might say, well, Pastor, you didn't call it the right thing. I just didn't want to call it everlasting mercy. I just wanted to call it something. But it doesn't stop. And Jesus will put up with me forever. Isn't that amazing? Okay? And by the way, and I know I said a few things that you can pick at. You know, my sins are buried away, so God won't remember the things I did on earth. I understand all that. But aren't you so glad that his mercy goes absolutely forever? So we're looking for that mercy. Hopefully you experienced salvation mercy? And again, do you find his mercies are new every day? Do you see his multiplied mercies? And we're looking for that mercy when finally these poor sinners, us poor sinners, we're standing in heaven. Isn't that going to be amazing? Isn't that going to be amazing that we get there? And it's all because of the mercy of God. And then that mercy goes on forever and ever. Let me bring it down to an end. Based on that, we live in a world of apostasy, folks. People are doing wrong all over the place. They're teaching crazy things, things that are bad, things that aren't right with the Bible. People are doing horrible things. But we live in a world of apostasy. Build up your faith. Let's get into some faith building, okay? Let's get some... By the way, faith's a pretty powerful thing. Did you know faith is really powerful? Because if you have faith just the size of a mustard seed, somebody tell me how strong that is. Mountains can't hold up against it. That's strong. Okay, so let's build ourselves up in our faith is what we need to do. Number two, we need to be praying in the Spirit, which means, you know what, God? I want your will in my life. I want to do your will. And Lord, when I find your will and I'm doing it, even though it's a little hard at this time, Lord, I'm resigned to do it. I'm dedicated to do it. And Lord, teach me great things about you. Show me great things that, Lord, that I'll just keep on in the faith. I won't quit because I know I'm doing what you want me to do. And that's what's best. That's what's best. By the way, let me just give you two things, okay? Just one illustration I maybe should have given for praying in the Spirit. Talking to somebody, and in their church, there was a car accident that took place. And the two people in the car accident that were in the car accident were hurt fairly severely, okay? And basically, one of them was a Christian, and one of them was not, okay? And in the car accident, the person who was not saved was hurt fairly bad, and in the hospital, as the pastor came and talked to her, got saved. The unsaved person got saved in the hospital when the pastor came and saw them. Okay? The Christian was hurt also. Again, pastor visited there and ever. But to this day, watch this. The person who was unsaved in the car accident is faithful coming to church every day that got saved. The person who was saved doesn't come to church anymore. They're mad at God for the car wreck. Now watch this. The relationship between the two was the saved person was mom. The unsaved person was daughter. Daughter got saved because of a car accident. Okay? And mom is mad at God. That's one of those things that made me just do what? Really? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, you would think mom would say what? God used a car accident to get my daughter's attention. Now she's on the way to heaven. But no, we're just mad at God because we all got hurt. What did Paul say? I wish myself that I were what? Accursed if Israel would get saved through it. What a different attitude here. Are you praying for the Spirit? Maybe it could be a car accident. Maybe it could be a disease. But if the car accident or disease could lead somebody else to Christ, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Again, who knows where we're going from here? I don't know. But wouldn't that be great? Pray in the Spirit. God, use me. God, I'm dedicated to do your will. Lord, help me to do it, but show me great things and teach me great things while I'm in it. Again, keep yourselves in the love of God. I'm just putting obedience down here. Let's be obedient. Be in the place where God wants us to be, the place where the blessings come out. No pig pens. Okay. By the way, I do know this, though. If God sends you to the pig pen, because that's his will for you to be there to help somebody, he'll be there with you. Psalm 139, even if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God will never send you anywhere that he won't follow you in or he'll lead you. Okay. But be obedient to God. And it may be in a rough sea. It may be in a rough place. But if you realize you're not where God wants you to be, get out of it and get in to the love of God. The last thing I have is live in the light of his return and our eternal life. Okay, it's more than this world, folks. It's more than this world. It kind of comes down to this. It's kind of did it. The core disciplines of Christian living. You know what the core disciplines are of Christian living? Build yourself up in the faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the what? Folks, it's basic. Learn the Bible. Read it every day. Now, you'll miss a few days. I miss a few days. Did you know that? Sometimes I don't get around to reading my Bible like I should. Did you know that? And I have really good reasons why I don't. You're following me through on your thinking, aren't you? Life just gets you to a place where it didn't happen today or I didn't make time I should have. But you can make excuses for it. But hey, the next day, get back in. Can't go another day. What's next, folks? Prayer. Bible study and prayer. Folks, these are foundations. These are core disciplines that we need. The next one is obedience. And I tell people I was at, and maybe some of the men were there at High Point Camp. This is a number of years ago because I was pastoring in Massachusetts. And the speaker said this. He goes, can anybody here just put two words together that characterize the Christian life? I spoke up as soon as he got to the question mark. You know what I said? Trust and obey. What two words characterize the Christian life? Trust and obey. I don't think he was looking for those words. He told me they were good words, but he was thinking of some other words, which was okay. But I think these are core disciplines. Folks, when you're living the Christian life, we're studying the Word of God and we're learning more about our God. So basically, as we're doing that, now watch this. If you leave off number one, four is hard. Did you know that? You leave off number one, three's hard. Okay? You leave off number one, two's hard. But if you leave off number two, three's hard. You leave off number two, four's hard. Are you following me through? These are things that go hand in hand. But as we're studying the Bible, learning about God, sure, we're going to want to trust Him. We're going to want to talk to Him more. We're going to want to obey Him because we understand Him. And as we're in conversations with Him, we're going to want to obey Him and we're going to trust Him. But folks, these are the core disciplines. So again, as you read there, again, Jude tells us, build yourselves up in the faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And we are looking for and trusting that Jesus Christ is coming and He will give to us all those mercies that are coming there. Again, we live in bad times. What's going to keep you going for Jesus Christ? Here's the core disciplines that we have. Father, I pray you might help us, Lord, to realize that some of the simplest things we can do as a Christian, which is just read our Bibles and pray every day, Lord, obey and be where you want us to be, and Lord, looking forward to Jesus Christ and the mercies that will come through that, that Lord, that will help us in a sea of apostasy to be the island that is faithful and living for you. Lord, help not others to shake us off of our faith. Lord, help us to remain strong and serving you until we're with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.